we just absolutely love. Sally was such a sweet dog, and just a really good dog. We just loved her. She died when I was 18. Normal life of a dog. But we had a saying for Sally that she was always on the wrong side of the door. She was either whining to get out or scratching to come in. Always on the wrong side of the door. And when I started getting into this and I was in the Word, the Lord reminded me, Sally, man, she was always on the wrong side of the door. Well, a lot of Christians are just seem like they're always on the wrong side of the door. You know what I mean? I've been there. Have you? I'm not judging anybody. Just saying, look, we're all in the same boat. We all miss it from time to time. We could have done better. We could have had a better resolve. We could have, I don't like that expression, lift ourselves up by the bootstrap. But, you know, what it is, being a Christian, is yielding to the grace and the strength of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Yielding to the power of the Word of God that liberates you from all of that junk. And I'm believing that that we are as persistent and passionate about getting on the right side of the door as my dog was. Get in and out. But we are, right now, this country is experiencing some pummeling, treacherous time. You know, Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 3. He said, in the end times, perilous times shall come. And then he named the whole list of them, and you can go through that later if you want. But look, in this country, we have, we've seen what the government, what state governments have doing what they shouldn't be doing. They're all out of balance. Let me put it this way. Our nation, I'm not going to get political here or whatever. I pay attention to it, and I vote, and that's my right and my privilege and my duty, and I do it. But our country was designed, our U.S. Constitution was designed for our government to do three things. Number one is to protect us from the enemies, foreign and domestic, right? Yeah. Number two is to provide a healthy environment for the free market, the free trade, for prosperity. That's the way God designed this thing. And then the third thing is to enforce the rights of its citizen. Our U.S. Constitution was not designed to regulate, to control us. The U.S. Constitution was designed to control the government.
Amen.
Just saying. And any overstep on that is not the freedom that we've been called to in this country. It's not the one that our country was designed for. You know, if they're not teaching this in history, we might as well do it here. Because they don't teach history in school anymore. They teach social studies, and now they got Common Core. It says, well, that's what happened. This is the way it was supposed to be. All that stuff is garbage. And look at our schools. Look at our colleges. Basically cranking out social stuff. It's not... if you were in our Zoom services last month for the Supernatural Power for the End Times, that was a good series. I enjoyed it. Aren't you glad I did?
Yes, sir.
I made a statement on the May 17th that this world is falling apart. Not only the world and the world systems, but this earth is literally falling apart. The electromagnetic field of this earth is diminishing at an alarming rate, and that's necessary to sustain all life on this planet. It'll come back into swing when Jesus comes back. The one who created it will put it all back together. But right now, sin and sorrow, we have no idea. But I made that statement prior. Cry one for me, too. But that was at the height. May 17th was about the height of the pandemic paranoia that we had. And we're finding out now that a lot of figures were fudged, and the CDC and the WHO, the World Health Organization, kind of fudged those figures and made it look like it was something bigger than it's not. And all those things are coming out now. But we've been lied to. We've been deceived by organizations, by local state governments who have asserted authority that they don't have. And people just blindly follow. Why? Because they don't know who they are. They don't know that they have a constitution guaranteeing them the rights, and the government is supposed to enforce those rights, not take them away. I'm not going to say any more about that. Well, maybe I will. But really, we've got to wake up and question some things. Go back to the roots and examine what's going on.
Yeah.
What are we tapping into? What are we allowing? It's us who allow all this.
Right.
And if you don't know history, you will not know how these things, these regimes took over in the first place. Argentina was an absolutely beautiful, rich, wealthy country at one point. And then the Perons came in and said, well, no, the rich got to pay for the poor. And then they turned it into socialism. It's a garbage bin now. So is Venezuela. So are all those countries. Socialism has a 100% failure rate.
Amen.
Historically. And it's hard for me to believe right now that there's an actual socialist who almost won the nomination in the Democrat Party. But that's how far we've fallen. I got to make an adjustment here because I keep on bumping into my mic. What that has cost us is a long businesses shut down, millions of jobs lost. Our total economy almost collapsed. And to add to that, people were scared, depressed, angry. You put those together and you've got a grumpy people. Suicides increased. Domestic violence surged to record numbers. Lori and I read an article said that domestic violence increased 56% over just about a week period. Week's time. Crippled our fuel industry, ruined our tourism industry, restaurants that were doing wonderfully. All of a sudden, now they're bankrupt and broke, out of business for good. They can't come back. It caused an impending meat and protein crisis. Church leaders and church attendees were arrested, threatened, and fined. This doesn't happen in a free country. Civil liberties and civil rights just steamrolled under the flag of government seeking its own power and not the rights of its citizens. And then if that wasn't bad enough, police officer kills a totally innocent man. And three other police officers were just compliant. Two of those officers, it was their fourth day on the job. But we've got to be present in the moment. And if those officers were present in the moment, George Floyd would still be alive right now. And so what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And we've got to nail that. We've got to be more in the present moment, in this life, in our interactions with people, in the workplace. When we see something wrong, we've got to say it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't apologize for the truth. Don't apologize for what's right, and that's what's been happening here. People are apologizing for being right. Drew Brees was apologizing for being right.
Yeah.
You can't do that. He said, no, I will not dishonor this flag. And then the next day he says, well, you know what? And he apologized for it. You never have to apologize for what's right. Do what's right because it's right, and then do it right. Right. But it's not all about being right. It's about being righteous. And if you are righteous, you will be right. Amen. It's your heart. It's your heart. Father, we just lift up George Floyd's family again. We join our faith with the faith of others. Lord, the great disappointment on this nation, the great sorrow. Lord, and the 99% of the police officers out there who really do try to get it right, I pray that you strengthen their resolve.
Yes.
and give them a deeper and better vision for their own future. In the name of Jesus, we call upon our municipalities to support our police and not handcuff them. We pray against the unions that make it difficult to deal with police. That may sound bad, but it's the truth. There needs to be a balance there. That officer who killed George Floyd had 18 pending disciplinary things against him. But we've got to get into the Word of God here. Otherwise, none of that makes sense. The Word of God holds this whole thing together. It says in Colossians that by Him, Jesus, who is the Word of God, all things consist or are held together. And without Jesus, nothing is held together. You can be right and be totally wrong if you're not with God. So let's open up to Mark chapter 4. We're in our series here of getting to the other side. Getting to the other side. And you know what we do whenever we open the Word of God, right? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's counsel empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking to me. And so we see in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, "In the same day when even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they said, Send away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there was also other little ships with Him." Boy, you don't hear about those, do you? "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they woke Him, and said, Master, don't You care that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm." Supernatural peace gets you supernatural calm. And then He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" What's the suggestion here? You could have did what He just did. That's what He's saying to them. "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. "And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes." Now this is part one of the series, and it's called Even As He Is. Verse 36 says this. Did you get? Oh, I'm sorry. There's the Bible. Even As He Is. Verse 36 says, "When they had sent away the multitude," you know, sometimes you got to leave the crowds. Leave what people are saying. Let the phone ring. Let it go to whatever. Voicemail. Turn the noise off. Turn the TV. Just get alone. "And then take Him even as He is. Not what you think He might want. Not some religious concept of what other people say He is or wants to do. Take Him into your earthen vessel even as He is. Take Him into your morning as He is. Take Him into your day as He is. Take Him into your conversations with your family as He is. Take Him just as he is. You know, we've twisted things around a lot. But, for instance, here's what happens. You get a religious concept, God is sovereign. And 90% of the, that's an arbitrary number, I'm not saying that that's right, but it just seems to me like so many Christians believe that whatever happens is God's will. And if that was true, then George Floyd, every rape, every murder, every injustice, every theft, everything would be totally justified because nothing happens unless God says so. And that is totally wrong. You cannot find that to agree with Scripture anywhere. That is a doctrine of demons.
Yes.
Normally, and doctrines of demons don't happen from people out there. They come from pulpits. And they misrepresent God and who he is. They misrepresent his nature, his will, and his intentions. They misrepresent his love and his character. And I'll tell you something. If somebody told a lie about me, man, that would really make me angry, wouldn't it? If somebody was telling lies about you that were totally false, wouldn't that tick you off?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you think God feels when every Sunday these things are being perpetrated from pulpits? And he's saying, I wish I could get them just to agree with my word. I wish they'd take me just as I was. I wish they wouldn't add to it or take away from it. Sovereignty, you know what the definition of sovereignty is? That God is the highest authority and he answers to nobody. That's what sovereign means. But we've added to it. And we've turned it into something and we made a doctrine out of it. Mark chapter 7, Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you know, you've made doctrines out of the traditions of men and you made the word of God of no effect. No wonder it's powerless.
Right.
No wonder it's anemic. It's been disemboweled for a better, you know, that's a pretty accurate term, too. I mean, the Bible does talk about bowels of mercy and stuff like that. But, let's leave it at, I mean, look, let me just frame this a little better, too. We've been paying attention to a scripture over the last few months with the COVID and all this about, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear them from heaven and I will come and heal their land. Another one is dispensation. Here's a big one. Oh, God doesn't do those things anymore. He used to do them. But not anymore. No, he changed. And God teaches us with sickness. And he teaches us with calamity things. No. No. See, they say, this is, we're in a special dispensation now. You know, the word dispensation is used four times in the New Testament. You know what it means? Stewardship. That's all it means. But they've added this thing to it. It makes it totally anti what it means. Paul said, this dispensation which was given to me, you were, or given me for you, he was to dispense it as a steward does something that belongs to somebody else. The gospel doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to any preacher. It belongs to him. And we need to be saying what he says and dispensing accurately his nature and his goodness and his mercy and his love, most of all because he is love. Amen? God loves you this morning. Say that. God loves me.
God loves me.
He can't help it.
He can't help it.
Because it's who he is. Oh, hallelujah. Give yourself a tickle. You know, again, that's another form of thinking, religious platitude that they've turned into a doctrine, and it has nothing to do with the Bible. You have to take Jesus as he is, get rid of the crowds, get turn off those TV. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and about three things, right away, within two sentences, it's like, where did he get that? I'm not going to say who. But we've all done it. We've all done that. We've all misread things. And we see, you know, that the love of money is the root of all evil. So we say, well, money is evil. No, money is not evil. It's an inanimate object. It has no emotions. It has no feelings. In other words, if you're at the grocery store and you know, they're back and they say, okay, that's 92, and you take out money and you give it to them. Most of them do it on cards now, but they take out money and they give it. Your money doesn't say, you're trading me for those perishable goods? How dare you? You hurt my feelings. No, money has no feelings other than what you attach to it. Ouch. The same day, what was the same day? It says in verse 35, the same day when even was come, he said to them, let's pass over. What was the same day? The same day he was teaching them all day into the evening the parable of the sower. The parable that he said, if you understand this, you'll understand all parables. He told them how the kingdom of God operates. Here's what he said. The sower sows the word. He's talking about the word as seed, reproducing after its own kind, according to the law of Genesis. Words are like seed. In fact, no, let me stop. Words are not like seed, they are seed. And they will grow up and become. It says this, so is the kingdom of God, Jesus said. The entire kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise day and night, night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knows not how. And he goes on to say, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. This is how the kingdom of God operates, through your words. Expounding. And it says parable after parable. He expounded and expounded and expounded and said, let's go to the other side. And what happened was a storm hit. Words are containers. Say that. My words contain things. Words contain thoughts. They carry spiritual forces like love, joy, and peace. God's word carries God's thoughts. And that's why they're so precious. David said, how precious are your thoughts toward me, Lord? The number is the sands of the sea. God has so many thoughts of you. And the more you know his word, the more you'll know his thoughts towards you. His thoughts of good and not evil. Power and weakness. Love when the whole world is hating you. The Apostle Paul knew how that felt. No, we need to take him as he is. And he didn't say go out to the middle of the lake and sink. He said, let us pass over to the other side. And it's interesting to note where they were going is the land is the city of Gadara, but in the land of the Gadarenes, in that area, which was a little sin city. You know how I know that? Because there was a whole herd of swine there. You could go there and get your baby back ribs. Your pork chops, pork tenderloins, you can get them any way you want them. I mean, they were there, they were open for business. You want it, they got it. And Jesus said, well, yeah, you can go into the, you know what? The demons, wow, thank you, Jesus. That, the devil said, don't throw us in the pit before our time. Demons don't even want to go to hell. That's how bad it is. That's what the Lord just spoke to me. That's how bad it is. But God's got a better plan. You know, we can eliminate a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of stress and strife and all kinds of things if we just take Jesus into our vessel as he is. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. So often we read and we filter things through our own understanding or lack of knowledge of the whole gospel of who God is, and we get a glimpse of something and we run with it without realizing there's more to this. And then it's somehow, we filter it through, and it bends around to where we can receive it, and all of a sudden it's translated into something else. Here's what Jesus said. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is love made perfect or full, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? What does that say to you? As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, he's a resurrected man, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. The eternal sacrifice he made for you was to become a man, and he is still a man at the right hand of the... There is a man in the Godhead. And he's just as much God as the Father, and he's just as human as you and me. And he's there to represent you. As he is, so now are you a resurrected man or woman? No. But he is, and as he is, so are you in this world. As far as he's concerned, you're born again, you were raised up with Christ. You are in this world with his resurrection power, and as he is, you are, so are you in this world. And Jesus said, they who believe in me, the things that I do, so they do also, and greater things than these, so they do, because I what? Go to my Father. God's power is amazing. His grace and his mercy will absolutely knock you over. Right, Dee?
Amen.
Let the word of God tell you who you are, not your circumstances. You know, you need to encourage yourself. You wake up in the morning discouraged sometimes. You go to lunch and say, you know, here we go again, another lunch. And, you know, depression comes. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will say, I'm in here. I'm in here. There's no reason for you to think that way about yourself. You know, the Bible says for us, thou shalt not steal. You're stealing thoughts of this world and you're applying them to yourself. Take your hands off of that. My thoughts for you are wonderful. My thoughts for you are restorative, redemptive, good, healing. Those are the thoughts I'm encouraging. Every day is full of surprises with God. He wants to surprise you. He wants to hear you laugh with the other kids. He wants you to celebrate and know his glory is available for you. Glory means weight. You know, the ocean is deep, but it has a bottom to it. But the endless skies of heaven are eternal. It's wide open. Turn back a page, or maybe two, to 1 John chapter 3. It says, verse 1, behold, I gotta keep. And by the way, this judgment, this day of judgment, isn't what the world will face, the white throne judgment when everybody stands before God. And their name isn't found in the book of life, so they open the book of deeds, and there you are. So that it's not judgment. Judgment in the New Testament, and by the way, this whole world is under the judgment of seed time and harvest. That's the law, the spiritual law that governs this world. Judgment is a harvest of seeds that you sown. For the righteous, it's good, because Jesus paid for all the bad stuff, and we get the good stuff.
Amen.
And, I mean, that sounds fairy tale. No, that's a real tale. That's heaven's tale about you. The blood of Jesus in us. The day of judgment. How you may have boldness in the day of judgment. In other words, you have confidence in the reaping that you of the harvest that's yours. Because you didn't even have to earn it. Because Because as he is, so are you in this world. So are we. All right. 1 John chapter 3, beloved. Everybody say now.
Now.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not what other people say he is. Not what religion said, not what denominations say, not what governments say about him. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He didn't say do it with masks. But the world would say, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. Don't be stupid. But believe God. John G. Lake. In the New Hebrides Islands, the bubonic plague broke out and people were dying by the dozens a day. Sent for a ship for medicine. The ship finally arrived when most everybody was dead. And they said, what are you doing to stay free from this? He said, sirs, I believe that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, what? He said, okay, let's do an experiment. You take that bloody froth that comes out of their mouth when they die, put it on a slide, and you'll see millions of bacteria in there, millions of germs. Do the same thing, but put that on my hand, and every one of them will die as soon as they hit my hand.
Yeah.
They did, and they did. Under a microscope in their own eyes. Dead. That's the law of life in Christ. It's the greater one. So greater than that? Yeah. It doesn't matter what problem is. He's greater. He's the greater one. You say, well, you don't know. Come on. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater. Every time you get discouraged that God is greater. God is greater. God is greater. And I am his son. And he's my father. And you know what? The whole kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed.